Hello and welcome to the Ham Radio Crash Course Podcast. Thanks for joining us again. Is this 4 weeks in a row? Oh my gosh. If you want to check us out, go to www.youtube.com/HoshNasi. That's the Ham Radio Crash Course on YouTube. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/HoshNasi. Without further ado, let's get started. Well, hello, Leia. Thank you for joining me again here in our podcast studio.
Hello. Such a nice podcast studio it is.
Yes.
Also serves as a dining room.
Yes. And part of the kitchen and living room and basically fully extended into our kind of our home, if you will.
Yeah. We do have a very open floor plan, so.
Yes, it's all kitchen all over the entire house. So, how's your week been so far?
Oh, it's been a week.
Kids are going back to school, and by school, we're producing the podcast on the school right now.
Yes.
Which is the kitchen table.
Well, we also do some schooling in the backyard on the patio table, sometimes in the front yard.
Mm-hmm. But it's going well, right?
If by well you mean in tears, then yes. And I mean, school hasn't even started. We're just homeschooling right now, reviewing, making sure our kids aren't idiots for the beginning of school.
I still don't know how. I mean, Ben has a hard enough time sitting in front of a computer for like a short class.
Right, right.
How is Edison going to be able to do anything in front of a computer?
He's not. He's not enrolled. I'm straight homing schooling him.
Straight homing schooling?
Yeah, nice. Homing schooling. That's where we get pigeons, and we teach them how to carry messages.
We strap Edison to the pigeon. And he would fly him to a school.
He would really like that.
He would. Nah. No, maybe. I don't want to sell him
He's
short.
So finicky.
Yeah, he is. He's very, very particular. Well, we've got a proper show format here.
Right.
We've been working on it. But we've got one. So what we do in the beginning here is we kick it off by going through our new reviews that are on iTunes. We love those 5 stars if you can give it to us wherever you podcast. But iTunes is kind of preferred. It's kind of like the big show as far as where people go for podcasts. How they
I did see
podcasts.
There was a comment on SoundCloud. I didn't click on it to not spoil the surprise.
Oh, I'm going to iTunes. Maybe you can pull up SoundCloud and then you can do that one while I do the new one. So,
oh, okay.
I've got 2 new ones. The first one is from Ozark Dweller. Great course and podcast. And he says, I have been listening to Josh on and off for several years. Which predates the Ham Radio Crash Course, basically. While I was planning on getting my technician, I got my technician through listening to this podcast and the corresponding YouTube channel. The information in this podcast is great fun. That's fantastic. Thank you very much, Ozark Dweller. Second one is J. Will 1182 writes, Whoa. What a great podcast.
Wow. That's a lot of woes.
It gets better. Hang on. Leia's podcast has become one of my favorite weekly pastimes.
It does not say Leia's podcast.
Says Leia. I got into ham after seeing Leia's cohort, Josh, on Fieldcraft Survival. This podcast makes me laugh all the way to and from work. Keep up the great work, Leia. Josh.
That is an amazing comment.
Before we started the show, Leia was humming.
That's amazing.
Leia was humming, and I told her, don't hum on my podcast. She got kind of offended, and I'm like, just wait. It'll make sense in a minute.
So I can't pull up the comment on the iPad interface.
What?
On SoundCloud. I saw it on a computer.
Well, that's a way to go.
Earlier this week. You
keyed off the Alexa.
But you know what I can talk about is I got this amazing email from Larry Annan.
Okay, go for it.
It's a really nice email. He's saying that he enjoys my podcast participation and that everybody's rooting for me to get my tech, which is very nice. But the bulk of the email is this description of the benchmarks, the summit benchmarks.
Oh, yes. Because we were calling them buttons.
Soda buttons, which is
we were calling them soda buttons.
Web design. So if you look that up, it will take you to Nothingham Radio related.
Sure.
But they are about the benchmarks. And you had made a comment about how the Hollywood Signs benchmark is likely stolen all the time. Well, the benchmark is actually installed into an immovable base. So you wouldn't be able to steal it without
big ass
heavy,
rock.
Yeah, has without been my heavy equipment.
Sure.
But it's also not just for ham radio, obviously. He was noting that.
Oh, no, this predates.
Yeah.
It's possible that they predate ham radio as a thing.
Sure. They're used by everyone needing something tied to a very specific, precise geographic location. Mm-hmm. And then he sent me a picture of that. And he said that a lot of people either take like pencil imprints, like a charcoal kind of imprint, mm-hmm. or wax imprints.
Like an etching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is such a cool way to.
I love that idea. I mean, yeah. I always take like a picture of it and put it.
Yeah, that's lame.
That's lame.
Yeah. But you could actually go ahead and like either wax imprint or charcoal the benchmark and then frame them. And then you have like a wall of achievements.
I like the etching idea. I think that's cool. I have been thinking about bringing a charcoal pencil kit.
That's ultralight.
Yeah, make an antenna out of the charcoal pencils for various reasons, but that's not a bad idea for the etching. The wax thing's kind of difficult because it's like hot on top of the summits, particularly during summer, which we're in right now, but maybe during winter, sure, that's not a bad idea. I like that we got corrected. It's called a benchmark, so
yes,
that's
great.
Thank
you.
Yeah, thank you. We love to be accurate.
Yes, also, as somebody who's married to somebody who is so knowledgeable, when somebody can correct him on something, makes me feel so good.
She's got a big smile on her face right now.
So thank you, Larry, and his call sign is K4LCA.
Well, thank you.
And I didn't get a chance to reply to the email yet, but I will.
You kind of did.
Well, I'm going to reply by
sure.
email as
That's
well.
That's a nice thing to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Any other email?
I might have something.
You better be pulling up your technician test too, because that's coming up.
Oh yeah, that's a part of the show format. actually, I don't know if I got any messages on.
So just to help people out, the way you can get email to Leia is leia@hamtactical.com. If you want to leave her a note from the podcast, you can leave a note on iTunes. We also have Ham Tactical on Instagram. And of course, I'm still out there too. Most people know how to find me though already.
Yes. We did get a message from Dalton Williams, who was bringing up a podcast about the rooftop tent and suggested MCQ Bushcraft as somebody to watch. Who he is a YouTuber that has a Jeep Grand Cherokee with a rooftop tent from England. That sounds really cool. To go overlanding in England must be amazing.
I mean, maybe. They don't have, like, large altitude swings. The terrain's relatively not too complicated.
So you're saying easier to overland?
I think so.
All right.
I mean, I'm not trying to take anything away from the British or anything, but, you know.
I don't. I've never been to England.
Yeah, neither have I.
So, well, don't you speak from experience.
Okay. Fair enough. Well, pull up that test. Or do you have another email? Sorry, I don't want to jump ahead of you.
Also, I want to note that I do oddly get messages that are directed towards Josh.
Yes.
I forward them.
She's doing her best. Yes.
Yeah, I do. When I see them, I forward them. But Josh has a lot of things he needs to answer. And I think when he sees something from me that is not related to the household, he's like, I'll get to it later.
I'm already doing too much. My stacks of inboxes.
Somebody messaged me on Ham Tactical. Really you.
Yeah.
I think on Ham Tactical, the Facebook page, they don't realize that it's not you. It's me.
Right. There's like three different Facebook entities out there,
right?
For my
right, online because you've got Hoshnasi and then
right. Ham Radio Crash Course Facebook group,
yeah,
and then Ham Tactical,
right?
Now.
And the person was just asking me if I knew how to hire someone to install a dipole. So maybe you could just answer right now.
Man, that's a really good question. You know, the easiest way to do it, and it's almost like BC, we have to refer to it as BC before COVID, you would just go to like a ham club. And you don't even really have to be a member. You just say like, hey, I don't know what I'm doing or I need some help. Can you at least tell me what I need to do or potentially point me in the right direction of someone who can help me
out? Sure.
And generally...
I thought a dipole was just a stick off the side of your house.
I mean, it's more nuanced than that. You want to get it as high up in the air as possible.
All right, well, ignore my response.
Yeah. You just get your mop. It's like, stick it in your chimney. It's just get it up there, man. No, you generally want it like really high up in the air. And, you know, height is the best thing that you can do to a dipole, generally. You always want it to be 1/4 wavelength of whatever band it's cut to off the ground. So if you took a 40-meter dipole,
right,
you need it to be 10 meters off the ground.
The length of things is very tricksy.
No, I mean, you just take a 40 meters as the full wave. The full wave is 40 meters long. And you need to get it at least 1/4 wavelength above the ground. So that's 10 meters. 10
okay.
meters up off the ground.
All right.
A lot of people use freestanding masts for that or guy-lined masts. Trees, nature's antenna support system, is a great way to go. It's just throw a line really high in the tree, get it as high up as you can. The only downside with a dipole in that case is because you've got the legs. You've got to get those also up. So you need like adjacent trees to make that work in the best way.
So what you need is to buy a house
mm-hmm.
near a forest.
Mm-hmm.
And just chuck your lines.
Yeah. They make special launchers and stuff for throw weights to get them up and over trees. Like they have a potato launch. They're like potato guns, basically, but they shoot like tennis balls.
Oh.
And you blast it up in the tree. They have special drop mechanisms that are used for other things, for drones. But people will hook up the throw line to the drone,
sure.
fly it over the top, and then drop it.
Right.
Into the tree. Yeah.
It's a real payload.
So there you go. I hope that helps. I hope you're listening.
I hope so too.
Pull up that test. Are okay. you stalling?
Yeah, I am stalling.
I'm starting to get the opinion you're stalling.
I am. It's been a long day.
Yeah? Are you?
It was just so many tears by everyone.
I was going to say, mostly you. The kids were sad too, but for mainly because they couldn't play Minecraft.
Oh, I know. That's a real problem.
That is,
but I'm pretty sure Edison built a ham radio antenna tower in
Minecraft. I don't think they have the capability to do radios yet. Like they have redstone, and redstone can make circuits and whatnot. I don't know that you can make a full on radio in Minecraft though. Somebody will probably comment.
The kids have just taken to building the tallest thing they can, whether it's from Legos or blocks, and going, look, I made ham radio antenna. That's just...
Hey. And you come in there and like, kids, what band did you build this for? Is it quarter?
They're one like 1 million.
Mm. What's the biggest band, Dad? That's the one.
The Beatles.
The Beatles. Was there another email? What am I waiting for? Am I like legit?
No, we're just, we are genuinely.
You walking on your forehead. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen.
What?
Did you get, oh my God, you got it.
It's on my hand.
Well, that was a live.
Get on the table.
Okay.
Okay, there we go. Okay. What is the name for a current that flows only in one direction?
Ooh.
Direct current.
Yeah.
Okay, the other answers are smooth current.
Smooth current. Yes.
As opposed to those jagged currents you really want to avoid. Normal current.
Good. Yes.
Which is, you know, quite frankly offensive. Just to the rest of the other currents.
It's an ableist current.
Yes. An alternating current.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now so way to go on that one.
Now we're on an Edison-Tesla battle.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Okay. Which of the following frequencies has the lowest value for maximum permissible exposure limit?
Ah.
What?
Hmm.
Which of the following frequencies has the lowest value for... Did we already do this one?
I think we might have when the test went FUBAR, when we restarted it.
Okay.
So you got a leg up then because you've seen this question.
It's 1296 megahertz, 3.5 megahertz, 440 megahertz, 50 megahertz. I'm going to go 440. God damn it.
It's 50?
Yes.
Yeah. That we definitely saw that question.
And I still don't remember this. Nope. This method of studying is not going to work.
This is not studying. I mean, this is like Schadenfreude for everybody that took the test that's listening right now. They're like, she's never going to get it.
Hey, I was told people are rooting for me.
We're rooting for you, Leia.
I think, okay.
Keep answering the questions. Make me laugh.
Did you already explain this and I don't remember? Maybe drinking during the podcast is not a good idea.
I told you this. The retention, I mean, we are drinking you're drinking very light today. You have a Bud Light Chelada, which is a Michelada, basically.
Yes.
It's a low rent Michelada by all get out.
Yes.
Low rent.
So during the Ham Fest, it was who put on the Ham Fest this past weekend?
QSO Today podcast.
Okay. So QSO Today podcasts, Ham Fest had like a Zoom chat, and I was talking to Sterling on that.
Oh no. So that is so that was linked on the QSO Today podcast.
Okay.
But the Zoom chat is just the Zoom account that the content creators have that they share.
Oh,
they
gotcha.
Can host Zooms whenever they want.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, it was in the context.
Wait, are you trying to get out of the questions?
No, no, no. I was going to explain something about the test taking.
Okay. Oh, good. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
Jeez.
So I had kind of made this joke about how you wouldn't cheat with me on a virtual.
What are we talking about?
On a virtual exam.
Oh no.
Right. I was like, you're just too honorable for
in
that.
No way.
Right. And they were like, it would be virtually impossible to cheat.
Yeah, it's very difficult.
And they were like, you don't actually understand what they're doing because they basically have you set up one camera where they are looking at you.
Yes.
And then they have you take a second camera, usually your cell phone camera, and you have to pan the entire room so that they can see what materials you have on your table and everything before you start the test.
Right. And they are paying attention that you're not like looking to the right a lot or looking to the left a lot
or shuffling stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
You shouldn't need to. Right. You're just taking the exam. The exam is all on the screen. All you need to be doing is looking straight ahead.
Right.
And then using the mouse. There's no typing. There's no anything like that. So it would be very difficult.
Yes. Yes. I'm concerned that I've seen this question before and did not remember the answer. I'm also
another question.
No, this particular question,
the absorption rate one.
Yeah, the lowest maximum. Because I feel like you even kind of explained it.
I did. Yeah, it's RF radiation, right?
And
so at a certain frequency, it starts becoming dangerous to humans. So we have to do studies to make sure.
So does this mean that 50 megahertz is the most dangerous?
I think that's what it's implying. Wait.
The most dangerous.
What were the other
options
and frequencies?
Lowest value for maximum permissible exposure limit, which would mean that it's the most dangerous.
Meaning you have the least amount of threshold before it becomes dangerous. So it's all based on how much power you're putting out. The more power you put out, the higher it raises that threshold. And then once you cross that threshold, you're technically if humans are within a certain range, they're getting radiated to a point that could be detrimental.
Well, then why would 440, is it because 440 is not even a band? Like it's not even
It is. 440 megahertz, yeah. What were the other two frequencies?
It was 1296 and 440. 1296 is not a band.
It doesn't. 1296? No, yeah, that's 1.2 gigs. Yeah. What was the other one? 440, 12?
440 and 3.5.
3.5. 3.5?
Yeah.
No, I guess that, I mean, those all can
be
dangerous.
How do I logic my way into this question?
I don't know that that one you can logic out, because I think it's just focusing mainly on the, so 50 meters is basically six meters. Sorry, 50 megahertz is the six meter band. So okay. I think it's implying that, no, you could jack people up if you're on that frequency in particular. But also 440 can do that too. I think they're just saying that that has the lowest amount of give.
But why? Why does it have the lowest amount of give?
I think it has to do with the body, the human body.
What now?
That wave in particular, the size of that wave will mess you up more. But I'm starting to go into...
What is that called? The brown vibration?
The brown note?
Yeah, the brown note. It will just turn your body inside out.
What? The brown note?
I know. Makes you I know what the brown note does. I'm just saying. I don't.
Okay, keep going, I'll look up the 50 megahertz.
What is the unit of frequency? A farad, a Henry, a Tesla, or a Hertz? What's happening here? I've seen these questions before.
Yeah?
It's a Hertz.
Yes.
Yeah. Rent a car.
It's a rent-a-car. That's a PT Cruiser Hertz. That is the size of the...
I have seen all of these questions before.
Well, then it's hacks. You've got hacks going right now.
Okay. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that since I got that first question.
I mean, are you taking a practice test right now? And
I am.
It's randomizing the questions?
I am.
Okay.
That's weird, right?
Yeah.
It's almost the same... And I'm hesitant to continue on this since we've already gone over these questions.
Well, maybe because ask this, two more.
This one is the same one about the satellite uplink.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's just ask it and we'll move on.
No, I'm just going to answer it, and
okay. Well, you're answering the question.
Yes,
because you remember it.
Yes. What is the impact of using too much effective radiated power on a satellite uplink? Do you remember this is the one that you juked me out of?
I didn't.
The answer is blocking access by other users.
Oh, yeah. That's the one where it restarts a satellite, right? That was the right. Went off on the whole tangent and restarting the satellite.
And then that was the technician classes.
All satellites are running Windows 95. I don't know if you know that.
What?
I'm joking.
Oh. I gulped.
What? Ruh-roh, Shaggy.
Yeah, I've seen all these. I don't. This is a waste of everybody's time. I think
you really screwed this one up.
It wasn't me.
You're doing this on your iPad right now.
What? Why did it start me back so far?
I have no idea. Are the questions already answered?
No.
Okay, let's just keep going. All right, Leia, you we'll do that again. We'll fix it for next week.
Yeah,
thank you for
apologize.
Trying. It's okay. We'll sort it out
for
next week.
I could just keep
you could start a new
skipping
test.
Ahead.
You can
until...
start a new test. Okay. All right, do that.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
Why are direct, not via repeater, UHF signals rarely heard from stations outside your local coverage area? No, we did this one too, right?
I don't think so.
Because it's something about the ionosphere?
I don't think... Well, we've talked about the ionosphere. Go ahead,
okay,
ask the question.
So why are direct, not via a repeater, UHF signals rarely heard from stations outside your local coverage area? A, UHF signals are not usually reflected by the ionosphere. B, FCC regulations prohibits them from going more than 50 miles. C, UHF signals are absorbed by the ionospheric D layer, or D, they are too weak to go very far. But is it UHF ultra high frequency?
Yes.
So why would they be too weak to go very far? Also, there's two answers that reference the ionosphere, so I am leaning towards one of those being correct.
Mm. What do you think?
I know that in order
anything
for
I say
a
is like too much of a hint, I can't even say anything to you right now.
I know that for a signal to go far,
yes,
it has to bounce off of the ionosphere,
right? Yes.
It's like a geometric.
Well, I don't know about that, but yes,
kind of. Right? The signal goes here and it's got to bounce at an angle to mm-hmm. where it will be received.
Refract.
Okay.
Yes.
But does the ionosphere, what is the ionospheric D layer? Is that a thing? Did they just make that up?
No.
It is
not
a thing?
Yes.
Can UHF signals be absorbed? What is a D layer? Do you give me something?
I can't. You're taking the test. What?
It's not a real test.
Oh my god!
It's an educational test.
This is why
test.
This is why I'll never help you cheat on getting a license because I just can't even on a practice exam. Like this is serious.
This is just.
It's
teach
just a different
me.
Height. It's a different height. The different layers are basically heights from Earth.
It's, but that doesn't mean that it's absorptive.
It does do some absorbing, but that's not necessarily the answer to the question. What's the answers again?
Okay, I'm just going to go with UHF signals are not usually reflected by the ionosphere. God, your face. You can't see this right now.
I'm not giving you any. I'm not giving you anything. I've got full poker face.
Yes. Ha ha ha.
It's not, I didn't want to, obviously I didn't want to give you a hint, but they're not absorbed by the layers. They punch right through. They just poof, right through it.
Ah.
That's why you use those higher frequencies to talk to satellites. You wouldn't be able to talk to amateur radio satellites if the layers either absorbed or refracted the signal.
Wow, this is the reason you need so many radios.
Yes. God, she gets it, guys. Gal.
Is that
all one of you?
What? There are so many women in ham radio.
I'm kidding. It was a joke. I'm kidding.
I feel like that a good amount of hams that I talk to are actually women.
Do you think that's because you're a woman?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
I would think so. Yes.
Yes. But still, there's more than one.
Yes.
Gatekeeper.
In no way. I am the anti-gatekeeper.
Yes, you are the
radio.
Anti-gatekeeper. What's the opposite of a gate, like a gate opener?
The key master.
What?
The key master.
But I mean, having the key doesn't do anything for you. You could still gatekeep with the key.
Yeah. You're the one that's holding the key.
That's not the opposite of gatekeeping.
Oh.
That is aligned with gatekeeping.
Oh, I thought that's what you were looking for.
What is the opposite of gatekeeping?
A locksmith.
That's ironic, since you know how to pick locks.
I was going to say, or somebody that knows how to pick locks, but I don't know what that is.
Lock picker.
A pen tester. Penetration test. It's a physical penetration test to break into buildings.
Keep it clean, okay?
Okay. My apologies.
When using a directional antenna, how might your station be able to access a distant repeater if buildings or obstructions are blocking the direct line of sight path? I have to note something right now. Mm. I have been reading with the kids so much.
Yes.
That I'm pointing at my words as I read them out loud.
You're like yelling, look at the page. There's nobody here. There's nobody that can even see your screen right now.
No, I'm saying when I read to the kids, I'm pointing at the words.
Yes.
So that they're following along and identifying the sound.
Well, you're enunciating really well. I don't know what it is about that finger, but you're really crisp with
but
your words.
I'm also, when I'm reading to the kids' books are so boring.
Yeah.
I'm basically, they're just words. I'm not even putting them together anymore.
These are meaningless to me.
Yes. I'm just making sounds.
Yes.
It's like Chinese characters.
Oh my gosh. Leia had to go to work today. She's like, Ben has to repeat this 5 times. And it was this song or conversation in Chinese.
Yeah, it was. It's a story poem kind of about friendship.
Great. And so I'm sitting there and she's like, make sure he reads it right. Okay. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
I set up an entire CD for
Leia. There is I will tell you.
He just had to hit play.
As someone who watched a lot of anime with subtitles on, not dubbed, this was impenetrable to me. I could not do anything with this.
You know what's really terrible is the teacher was asking Ben what this passage said. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't know. I should say the words.
Yes.
I'm like, oh my God.
So, little inside baseball there. Ben is in Chinese school.
He's doing summer school right now. It was like a 4-week program. Mm-hmm. And really, he's only in it because I'm on the board and I felt bad not enrolling my kid in a flagship
program.
You are
literally on the board of the Chinese school, so not having your child in it would be a little weird.
Right.
But I don't even think that was an option for you. You were always going to have him in it.
It's the first summer we've done the program since he's been enrolled.
You have to.
Yeah.
Okay. Back to it.
Okay.
Back, grind, get
all right,
to the grindstone.
All right. Okay. So the question is, when using a directional antenna, how might your station be able to access a distant repeater if buildings or obstructions are blocking the direct line of sight path?
Yeah.
This is a good one. Increase the antenna SWR. Mm. B, try to find a path that reflects signals to the repeater. C, change from vertical to horizontal polarization. D, try the long path.
That's an inside joke. Well, if you understand the whole thing, that's the long pass kind of a joke answer. That's a bit of a hint for you. I didn't mean to do that, but.
I mean, try to find a path that reflects signal to the repeater, right?
Why do you keep asking me like I'm going to answer you? This is a pod.
Why
it's a receive-only transmission.
Why would changing to a horizontal polarization be helpful? Is that the answer?
Leah,
what is an SWR?
The test isn't supposed to get in your head like this.
This multiple choice test
is psyching you out. It stands for standing wave ratio.
Okay, I'm just going to go try to find a path that reflects the signal to the repeater. Ha ha! That's.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes. All those other things are bad. They will cause bad things to happen. Like, it won't
What
be
about
good.
The long path, though?
There is no long path in line of sight. Long path is
what happens if you change to a horizontal polarization?
It would depend on the polarization of the repeater you're trying to hit, but most repeaters are vertically polarized. So you would likely want to be vertically polarized as well. But at the same time, it's a repeater.
I vaguely
so it's not that
remember
big a deal.
That.
It's not really a big deal, though. Now, the joke, the long path joke, again, line of sight is, there's no refraction. You can't get beyond line of sight, right?
Right.
So you can, like from you, if you had an omnidirectional antenna, it would be line of sight in a 360-degree pattern around you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But if you have an HF antenna and you're using refraction, then same omnidirectional antenna, right? A vertical antenna. You are bouncing your signal across the ionosphere and possibly off the Earth and then back to the ionosphere again and blah, 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 blah.
Sure.
Blah. Well, let's say I was talking to somebody in New York. The short path is from me directly to New York. The long path is all the way around the long side of the Earth to get to New York.
How would that even work?
It's possible. It's actually a thing. It's not a thing right now because we're kind of on the low side of the sun cycle. The sun cycle is starting to pick up. But that goes...
Tell me more
about
this astrology of ham radio.
It's not astrology. It's an actual thing that happens to the sun every 11 years. It's an
Said
11
like
year
a Taurus. I'm just kidding. Yeah, so, I'm just kidding.
So stubborn.
I don't follow astrology.
I know.
But you knew that Tauruses are stubborn. That's funny.
Everybody knows.
That's so funny.
Because you grow up and people what? Have been around you and they're like, you're such a Taurus. Oh my God. That's just something you'd say.
Also,
that's a Taurus.
You like to be very comfortable. This
yeah,
is
I do.
Another Taurus thing.
Oh, so you yes. you know all about Tauruses now?
Yes.
Okay. So long path. Actually, we talked about this on one of the episodes. There comes a point where you're trying to talk to somebody, and you hear yourself.
What?
Not too long after you're transmitting. That is you going all the way around the earth and coming back.
How many times has this happened to you?
Never, because it's fairly rare for that to happen.
Oh, I was going to say, is this something we maybe need to talk about?
I swear, I can hear myself, and the radio's not even on.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I bet... Oh, you could use ham radio in so many good scary stories. So many good scary stories.
I want to hear this, actually. What can we do to prank people? Hey, Ben.
Well, I guess you can't, because you always have to expose your call sign.
Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. K6NZ.
No, K6NZ. Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary. K-Murder.
K-Murder. He changed his name on Discord. It's actually K-Murder now.
And why wouldn't it be?
I know.
Yes.
He said he didn't even think about that.
What?
Right? Didn't he say that to you? He's like, yeah, I didn't even think about that.
I'm pretty sure I've called him that before.
You have. And he's like, I didn't even think about that. Maybe he, I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. I don't want to assume things. I thought he told
you
that.
Well, now everybody is. I think he said it in the comments of the stream. Hmm. Or in the live chat. And then... I also think he said he was going to record a new intro to go with his new street name.
Yeah, where he's playing bass, CW, and everybody was trying to figure out. Everybody, well, there's a couple of people in the YouTubers bunch that actually knows how to work CW. I'm marginal at best.
Yeah.
And we're all sitting here listening to going, like,
even read Chinese, so.
I got a K. that was about as far as I could decode it, but he says he did it.
Excellent. Okay, is this the last question? I don't even
know.
You
tell me. Yeah, this is the last question.
Okay.
Yes.
What is the function of automatic gain control, or AGC?
This is a really good question.
You've said that many times.
No, but this is a really important one. Yeah, it's really important for HF radio, but keep going.
A, to keep received audio relatively constant. B, to eliminate RF on the station cabling. C, an asymmetric goniometer? Goniometer control used
Fantastic.
For...
Nebula.
And how do you pronounce it?
I'm not looking at the
word. Goniometer.
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 Goniometer. That's it.
Control used for antenna matching. To protect an antenna from lightning.
Oh, man, you can get rid of, like, most of those.
What?
Most of those answers should just be flagrantly false to you.
I mean,
because
C,
you've been studying so
even,
hard.
C, I don't even know... What a goniometer.
Can you
is.
Show me the word? Actually, now I want to know what the word is. Can you show it to me?
Could you just tell me what that is?
Goniometer. Yeah.
An
asymmetric.
You.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm sure that's a thing. Somebody will comment. But that is new to me. That is a new word to me. That's the only hint I'll give you.
B, to eliminate RF on the station cabling.
I'm not gonna give you any
automatic gain control.
Yeah.
Like, I wish the gain gang were here. You know, I think they would really help me out.
And if you want to be a part of the gain gang, go check out the shirts at hamtactical.com.
You know what? Okay, so I was really excited to make these FT8 shirts for Ham Tactical because I actually think that the waterfall looks like abstract art.
It,
I think
it
it's
can.
A super cool pattern. Mm-hmm. I love everything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made these FT8 shirts on request because it was like, make an FT8 shirt.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I must have missed the mark. Maybe I associated it too much with, like, TLC. I don't know what the problem was.
Because every ham wants to wear a reference to TLC on their body.
I go chasing waterfalls?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I thought so.
Stick to the bands and the frequencies you're used to.
Or that you're, you know, it should be like stick to the bands that your antenna is resonant on. Yes.
Anyway, so I thought.
Anyways.
I thought that the coolest design I made was using a waterfall pattern to fill out the word waterfall.
Yeah.
Right?
I thought
so. It's like an FT8 waterfall. Not one order.
Just on any of them?
None of them.
Oh, wow. Maybe people are not proud of their FT8.
I think I definitely missed the mark on what.
Do this. For everybody listening, if you had to make a t-shirt to like that you think people would be interested in for FT8, send Leia at hamtactical.com an email with what you think that would be.
I mean, one of the shirts says low signal, not low power.
And I got comments on that. That they're like, I'm so glad you mentioned that. I thought that this was blah, 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 blah. And when I showed the shirt, it was on that live stream where we showed the shirt.
And the FT8 is actually written in waterfall.
Yeah.
Like the, just nothing. I thought people love FT8. You use FT8 all the time.
Yeah. Now that the power line noises.
Yeah.
Seems Anyways. To have magically disappeared. I think they might have fixed it, but. Back to the question.
I don't think that there's a way to keep received audio relatively constant. That doesn't seem ham radio at all.
Okay.
Just nothing seems constant to me on ham radio.
What? Why? Why do you feel that way?
Because the ability to make contact seems so sporadic.
Yeah, but that's because of the ionosphere, right? That's out of our control. But in our shack, we're in total control of what's happening.
Okay. Is that the answer then?
I don't like have to kill a goat and hopefully it's like, okay, antenna, do your job. I put it in the GOAT 9000.
I just want to say to eliminate RF on the station cabling.
That's wrong.
It was actually to keep received audio relatively constant. Okay. Yeah. All right. We're done with this.
Mm.
Done here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah.
No, so the automatic gain control, you want to use that to like knock your noise floor down.
Well, isn't controlling RF a part of that?
No.
Like reducing RF?
There's nothing in the equipment that can control RF. Like going around and turning off devices and putting
chokes on
them.
Well, you bought all of those very heavy
toroid cores.
Yes.
Yes. Those knock down RFI. Those are physical things, though. They're not like a gain control knob, if you will.
Is that an accessory you have to buy? It seems like everything
is... The AGC? No, it's on the radio. Most HF radios have AGCs.
Huh.
Okay, so we got two things to talk about. The main thing, kind of we've been leading up to it. Recently, the ARRL board met. And the board is an interesting group. I'm not going to focus on any of the actualities of what it is, except for they meet and they discuss a bunch of things and make a lot of decisions. And then we kind of don't hear about it until the notes comes out of the meeting, and that's usually, I believe, 60 days after.
Oh, is it because ARRL is a nonprofit?
I don't know.
Why is there a board?
It's definitely...
What do they govern?
The Amateur Radio Relay League. It's the membership group, right, with the magazines.
So it's probably a nonprofit, right?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Why would you not think it was a nonprofit?
I mean, thought you weren't. They have a CEO and a board and.
Yeah, you can still have a CEO.
I'm not prepared to answer this question.
Okay.
That's not what we're here about.
I'm just going to.
Anyway, they met and the notes will come out later that kind of detail it, but, or maybe that's what this is. But anyway, end of July, July 24th, they said, and I'll just read it. During the session, the board took a look at the following actions, accepted the final recommendations of the ban planning committee. Committee chair and ARRL first vice president, Mike.
Wait, did you
Rasbeck?
Say ban or band?
Band.
Okay.
Band planning committee.
I was like, they're planning bands? You guys got to get it. You got to stop them.
We banned this band. introduced a motion to adopt the plan. An earlier draft of the plan was introduced at the board's in-person January meeting. After the January board meeting, the committee received and considered hundreds of comments from interested amateurs. The final ban plan can be viewed on the AWRL website. And I am on that website right
okay,
now.
So they are a nonprofit organization described as having relationships with several other organizations, including FEMA, American Red Cross, Salvation Army, Department of Defense, and Boy Scouts of America. And just for the AWRL so that they know, it's no longer the Boy Scouts of America. It's just the Scouts of America, which is now bankrupt.
Oh, snap. It's because of all those GoToMeetings and Zoom things. Kids are parents are pulling their kids out of Zoom.
It was
because
before
of
that.
Lewd and whatever acts going on.
Maybe they were just filing for bankruptcy to get out from the Girl Scouts lawsuit when the Boy Scouts changed their name.
Nah, you
Scouts.
Can't touch us anymore. We're the Boy Scouts again. Whole new nonprofit.
The only reason I know is because Ben's a scout.
Right.
And everybody was like, well, what happens to the Pinewood Derby? Apparently an inappropriate Zoom bomb.
Right.
But
now brought to you by Brazzers.com.
What is Brazzers?
It's a porn website.
Wow.
Okay.
I'm really learning some things about you.
Wow. Okay. So the proposed ban plan, and this is kind of what I wanted to talk to you about. I don't know how much we've talked about the banned plans. You know the difference between technician general and extra, right? It's kind of like the tiered levels.
Right.
Technicians generally get access to all the line of sight radio bands.
Right.
They get full access on 6 meters, 2 meters, 440, and I think they get like 1.2 gigahertz and some other stuff. But this proposed plan...
Can I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Why do some bands get called by a band number and others get called by a megahertz number?
I think it's like... So the reason I say 440 is because the actual name for that band is 70 centimeters. It takes much longer to say 70 centimeters than 440.
Is there a formula? To calculate band to
megahertz? There's
roughly
a formula.
Okay.
So technicians for the longest time haven't really had access to HF. They've really only had line of sight capability. What they had in the form of HF was a portion of the 10 meter band. And let me explain this a bit. We're on the low sun cycle side right now. 10 meters is not very usable in the low sun cycle.
Just like Virgos. I'm just kidding.
Jeez.
I don't know. Sorry, I was just kidding. I know nothing about Virgos.
I don't even know a Virgo. So 10 meters is not really usable in the low sun cycle. It's really good at the high sun cycle, or you know, much better than it is. But technicians got a small sliver of that band. And so you're basically bringing all these new people into the hobby.
What do you mean by a small sliver of a band?
Only a portion of the total amateur bandwidth is allotted for technician use.
Okay.
Right. So 10 meters as a band is very, very large. The amateur radio, all amateurs get a huge access to that band. Many, many, many megahertz of space.
How do you know if a technician is using general bands?
Because they're using their call sign. And
is somebody looking up? Somebody's just sitting there like a switchboard. I'm going to look up, make sure that this guy is on.
Son of a...
And his band. Get
off my band, noob. No, when you've got a logging software and you type in the call sign, it usually pops up like information about who you're talking to. Like I can get a picture of people. I can figure out exactly where they're located. That helps in lots of ways, but it'll tell you what class they are.
And then when a technician is on a general band and say you're the not technician and you've caught him, what do you do?
Just start screeching. just never stop screeching. No, I try to inform them. I think this has only happened like one time. Just try to inform them that they're not privileged to access these frequencies. How gatekeeper is that?
Wow. Oh,
now I am the gatekeeper.
Yes, you do have
I'm
the keys.
I'm looking for Zool. Or the keymaster? Is that his gatekeeper and the keymaster? Something like that. You don't know what I'm talking about,
nothing.
Do you? You have no idea what I'm talking about. Literally, r/whoosh for Leia.
Yeah.
Okay, so technicians get a portion of voice on 10 meters, single sideband. They can talk voice on single sideband. They get a portion of 40 meters and 80 meters and 30. No, they don't have 30 meters.
Do you think people upgrade from being a technician to being like a general and an extra just so that they don't feel claustrophobic on the bands?
Yes. Particularly to extra. They get a portion of 15 meters, and that's the big ones. Anyway, so they do get a portion of the lower bands, the ones that are useful in the low sun cycle, but they can only operate CW. They can only use Morse
code. Wow.
So, like, really sticking it to the technicians, right? You can't even... You have access to 40 meters, which is a great band, and 80 meters, but you better only use Morse code. If we hear anything out of you other than Morse code, you're in trouble, mister.
Wow.
And the FCC could technically send you a letter saying, hey, you got reported on.
We noticed that you weren't speaking in dits and da's.
Dit, da, dit. No, the... And again, it's a frequency space. That frequency space that they're allocated, as it is right now today, is the CW frequency space. They only have a sliver, a piece of the CW frequency space. They can only use Morse code. Well, this plan that was approved by the ARRL gives them access to digital modes and voice modes, a sliver. I'll talk through it right now.
And how mad...
So mad.
So mad.
So mad. So mad. It gives access to 80 meters and 40 meters. Very good. And no, so, 20, I noticed, which is interesting.
So what do you think happened in
Hold
the
on.
ARRL?
15 like, meters.
There are all these new technicians and nowhere
this guy ham radio crash course got like... 5,000 people licensed. I don't even know what the number is, but I'm assuming it's probably not 5,000, but
sure.
Regardless. And it's not just me, of course. It's many people. But there's a whole lot of new technicians coming out. A whole lot. And
well, I don't want to step on anybody's toes then.
No. But hear me out. The ARRL finds himself in kind of a weird spot, right? Because they kind of have to ride the fence on this one. They both have to simultaneously make happy the subscriber base they already have.
Sure.
Right? They want to keep the extras and the generals and generally the older community of ham radio operators happy. They have to keep the subscriber base up, right?
Sure.
But then you have all these new technicians that just showed up. And a lot of them didn't enter ham radio the same way as the base.
Well, they didn't
exists.
Even have to need to know CW.
Right. Right,
and not knowing CW actually then limits
the band plan is worthless.
Yeah.
Right, it's totally worthless by removing the CW requirement, like they did in the 90s and in the early 2000s. The fact that you get access to CW is like okay,
that is
what is
worthless
that?
To me.
This means nothing. Thank you, but no, thank you. It's to me what the ARRL is doing is just catching up to the realities that already exist.
Sure,
there's no more CW requirement, so. While I don't want them to lose access to CW, right? I just think that limiting them to only CW is totally
sure
pointless. It's illogical. It borders on illogical.
But I imagine being somebody who took the time to become a general and to become an extra so that you would be somewhat limitless in terms
like Bradley
of the
Cooper.
Yeah. I mean, the moment you become an extra,
yeah,
just superpowers.
Yeah.
You know, and now they're giving some of those powers to technicians.
I had to walk to the FCC office to take my test. No, and that's actually the arguments I've heard in the past is that
in the snow, so much uphill both ways
to downtown Los Angeles. Yes. No, I mean, I've heard stories like this before is that, you know, people have, there's so much history in ham radio.
Yeah.
I am not a ham radio historian, so I'm not going to try and wax poetically on how things used to be because I was licensed in 2007. But there was a time when you actually had to go to an FCC office to take your test. The FCC had offices, like a lot of them, that you had to go to.
COVID taught them offices are worthless.
Right, right. Yes. They're all on Zoom now. No, this was many decades ago. And eventually what grew out of the FCC offices, once they got rid of that, what ended up taking over was the VEC program, the Volunteer Examiner Coordinator System. Those are volunteers. The people that are giving tests are all volunteers.
They're heroes. But they
just really like QRP.
Yeah, yeah. Those are actually two of the most viewed shirts right now.
What?
QRP and QRO.
Team, yeah, because people got to pick your team.
People are debating. But you know what I noticed? QRO people, not nearly as proud as QRP people.
Way more QRP people.
Yes.
So as things have changed, the band plans kind of need to go in step with that. The problem, though, is that this requires working with the FCC. The FCC has to approve this stuff.
Sure.
And allow this band plan to become the new normal. But the ARRL, being the largest representative body of American hams, has a lot of sway because there really is no other game in town, and they do a pretty good job of working with the FCC. So I think what they're doing is a wonderful example of how things
So are
be
they
done.
Basically just a lobby group, like a nonprofit lobby group to act as a voice for ham radio operators?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I people hate it. I always do this. People hate it when I do this.
They're
it's like
the
NRA of ham radio.
Except for the NRA is
they're so much worse now. Than the ARRL is. And so I'm not comparing them. I'm not saying they're the same. But they get a nice little slice of things. So for 15 meters, for instance, technicians now...
Now I'm really excited to become a technician.
Yeah, you get access to a lot of cool stuff. You get access...
I'm never going to have to get my general.
You get access to both RTTY and narrowband data. And... wideband data, and you also get a portion of single sideband, about 100 kilohertz of single sideband on 15 meters. Not bad. No 20 meters, which I think they took that out. I think the proposed had 20 meters on it. I think they got screamed at. I think they
What is significant about 20 meters?
20 meters is a universally good band, whether it's a low sun cycle or a high sun cycle. It's kind of the band that's right in the middle. So in the low sun
not
cycle...
Not affected by extremes.
Well, it's still affected, but it's usable during the day. 20 meters right now is a daytime band.
Mm-hmm.
When the sun cycle flips...
They play at those daytime clubs in Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When it mainly chills at the pool.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Like uncomfortable. It's like a really big gold chain.
Oh.
Maybe a Speedo some days.
You're not making this band actually sound very good.
Hey, come to my pool, discotheque pool.
I don't think you're allowed to do that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry,
I don't think you're... I don't think that's okay what you're doing.
There. You're right. I apologize.
What is happening?
I don't know.
Tequila. That's your problem.
No, so... 20 meters, now you totally made me lose track of what I was saying. No, so when the sun cycle's high, 20 meters is useful all the day and into the night. It is great all the time, basically. So 20 meters is a pretty popular band, and we actually have a pretty large chunk of frequency space.
What is the most unpopular band?
Maybe... 60 meters? It's very interesting, but it's we're a secondary user. We're not a primary user.
What happens on... Who is the primary user
the
of 60?
The military. The U.S. government.
How can you be allowed to use that?
we're able to use it as a secondary user. Meaning if there's any other traffic as the primary user traffic, we've got to capitulate and back off. And it's channelized. There's only a single couple of slices of frequencies we can actually use. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm about a quarter Ukrainian. So can I... What? To come back to the discotheca comment.
Was that a Ukrainian accent?
Sure. Let's go with that.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
So
as far as bands go, like 30 meters is popular now because of digital modes. But generally that has been a CW band. But with the popularity of FT8, 30 meters is way more hopping now. So the majorly popular bands specifically right now are 80 meters, 40 meters, and 20 meters. And technicians are going to get voice access and data access on two out of those awesome bands, which I think is a masterstroke of the way things
so
should go.
So I guess I'm a little confused.
Okay.
Because my understanding is that it's very hard to make contacts when the bands are being heavily used.
Yes.
So if you increase the number of hams that can use 40 and 80,
yeah,
don't you actually render them less useful to the generals and extras? That
on any given day, there is more than enough space for everybody on the bands.
Is there?
Yes.
Okay.
The only
then I've
time...
got a real question for you.
Okay.
Why does it appear that when you are trying to make contacts, you go on the internet, like on your Discord or whatever, to be like, oh, I'm going to go over here to this band. Uh-huh. And then somebody will go, oh, let me try to hit you.
Yeah, it's called a SCED.
Or
scheduling a contact. SKED. A SCED.
Well, if
we got lingo.
If it was so easy. If it was so easy to make contacts, why would you need to SCED? Your contacts?
Because it sounds really weird if you hop on Discord and go, I'm not going to tell you where. But I'm going to be on the radio.
Come find me. That actually sounds like fun. A ham radio scavenger hunt?
I mean, it's not... It's like, oh, there's Josh. He's on 20 meters FT8 again. I found him. He's pumping 800 watts in that step IR. There he is. What a great scavenger hunt. The 55th ham radio crash course scavenger hunt. Josh on FT8. Got him.
Okay.
No. I mean, so a part of it is, and again, this is like, you have to consider this as a day-night cycle thing. Bands are good at certain points of the day, and then they're no longer good. There is periods of time where bands are open and then when bands are closed. 20 meter is a daytime band, but it's not great throughout the entire day. In fact, there are periods where you can't get out at all. Like, there's no one you can talk to. So there was a bit of like working back and forth.
Okay.
And the reason why we use something like Discord to kind of point people where to look for me is... We don't even know if communication is possible. And we may have to jump to two or three different bands before we can even try and make a contact. So it's not just like, hey, I'm going to be on 20 meters at 14, you know, .235 or something like that. It's actually like, oh, I'm going to be on this frequency right now. I just tried to call your, I just called you. You called your call sign. Did you hear me? No. Okay, you call me. I want to see if I can hear you. Did I hear you? No. Okay, 20 okay. meters isn't working.
So, not to be rude, but it's...
So, this is great when you start out a sentence like this. Fantastic entry. This is going to be not offensive.
No offense intended.
Okay. But I will not join you at the discoteca.
No. If the goal of making these contacts, aside from the fun of the hunt of the contact, right?
Okay, yeah.
Is to practice for an emergency situation in which there is no phone and there is no internet. Isn't using the internet to schedule contacts and hop around bands to make contacts with somebody kind of cheating?
No.
Aren't you, in essence, not brushing up on your skills because you're still leaning on an internet-based, like, planning system?
Yeah, so I would say two things on that. Just rag-chewing with randos on the radio really isn't preparing you for an emergency situation.
Sure it is.
Why?
Because then you've built a relationship with somebody who is farther out but also accessible by ham radio. So it in...
If they're in Nebraska,
yeah.
What am I going to do with that?
Well, he becomes a point for you to communicate from Nebraska over to North Carolina. Mm-hmm.
And then hey, Bob in Nebraska, the looters just kicked the door in.
No, but
help!
If you're in a calms down situation, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like for everything other than ham radio, mm-hmm. and again, this is one of the things that actually is interesting to me. Like that drives me to want to get my tech.
Yeah.
Is the idea that in a situation where I cannot use phone lines, I cannot use the internet, mm-hmm. that I could somehow through a network of ham radio operators and or repeaters mm-hmm. communicate to somebody I'm trying to reach across the country yeah. or in another country.
Sure. Yes.
Right.
Yes, and. But at the
I'm
same
assuming
time,
that at that point in time, there would be like a ham radio switchboard type system.
Yeah, but here, I'll help you out on that one. So when there's a major hurricane.
Message board, not switchboard.
Yeah, no, I like the ringy dingy option. One ringy dingy, two ringy dingy. Lily Tomlin. That was very good. Switchboard, yes. So when there's a hurricane net, right, it is a pre-established frequency. Everybody sure. knows that frequency. That's what the frequency they go to.
Okay.
They don't start out every day and go, frequency net, hurricane net, come and find me. It's always the same frequency.
Okay.
So if I just like
but what
found
if,
somebody and said, hey, I'm here every night, come talk.
What if...
How is that... That's still just talking on the radio at the end of the day.
But what if that frequency is not easily accessible because of the sun cycle?
That's why you got to switch frequencies. You got to try out different frequencies. So if I can't talk to Tom or whomever in the Discord, right, on 20, I tell him switch to 40, now switch to 80 or whatever. But if I don't have that capability, then he's not even going to know what band I'm going to go to next. I didn't even talk to him on 20. I'm going to tell him, hey, let's try 40 now. And I couldn't hear Josh.
Well, that's,
where do you think he's going to go next?
That's kind of my point.
That's a pre-established comm plan. That's a pre-established comm plan at that point.
Okay. Right, because Fieldcraft Survival talked about this.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
The live stream this weekend is going to be on that PACE protocol, the emergency protocol that he introduced me to 2 weeks ago. I did not know about this, but I have done a deep dive on this emergency plan.
Wait, it goes beyond the Tupperware container of a radio and laminated instructions inside an EMP.
Not where you are at right now, but yes, it goes beyond, well beyond that.
You should give people for Christmas.
What?
You know, Baofengs inside Tupperware containers with instructions.
Hey, the nerd bought us something again from his nerd stuff he likes to do. I have given people Baofengs.
Yes, you have.
And
one person really appreciated it.
So much so, he never, ever uses it.
He uses it when he sees you.
Hey! Whoa!
Look,
hey.
It's my Baofeng.
Didn't know you were coming over. You just caught
chair.
Me with my Baofeng out. Oh, that's awkward. Because that's never happened. stroke Leia.
I'm just imagining him when we arrived. The Balfang was right on the Adirondack chair.
What are you talking about? You have imagined a scene in your
I'm
head.
I'm talking about a real thing. You don't remember. You are literally thinking you are making up this scenario in which it actually happened.
Somebody prominently displayed a Balfang
yes.
for when I came over to the house?
Yes.
I don't remember. When did this happen? You talking when we went to Solvang?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. No, okay. Okay. Oh, fine. Yeah. Okay.
There's a Balfang on the Adirondack chair.
Whoa. Hey, who put this here? It's my Balfang. Just my Balfang.
But he can only listen.
Right. Because he doesn't have his license. Whoa. I accidentally just keyed up here. Oh.
It's cool that I've been using our call sign, right?
It's cool, bro.
Just a prank. That's another question I have.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people are relatively open with their call signs. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't somebody just use somebody else's call sign?
It happens. I'm going to go out on a limb here. Somebody has probably used my call sign before. I'm just guessing. It's probably happened.
It wasn't me.
No. It was Ben. That has happened, right? Is it Kevin Laughlin? One of the YouTubers that's out there. He got a report from somebody that actually somebody was using his call sign in a completely geographically different location.
And then what do you do?
They talked to the person and said...
How did they talk to them?
They said, you sound like you're 20, maybe, and this person is older than 45, 50 years old.
That's it.
And he's in Arizona.
You just hinged on, you're depending on the fact that some ham that you already know, who knows you well enough to know what your voice or age is going to come across this imposter.
Okay,
ham.
let me walk you through what happened.
Okay.
So you're in wherever. Pick a place. Pick a city in the United States.
Why can't it be Cerritos?
Okay, it's Cerritos. Okay. And you're using...
Why does it need to be a fictional place?
I didn't say fictional. I said pick a city in the United States.
Why can't it... Okay, if I have to be anywhere, Leia,
I didn't put rules on it. I said pick a city. I didn't say it can't be Cerritos.
Okay. Raleigh, North Carolina.
Great.
There.
So you're in Raleigh, North Carolina.
It's a bad scene in North Carolina right now. I feel very bad for them, by the way.
Why'd you pick it? What the heck?
I've been thinking about North Carolina a lot.
Man.
Today.
They got Biscuitville up there.
They've had hurricanes, tornadoes, and I think they just had an earthquake.
Oh, yeah. It was like a 5.0, right? It's like, whoa.
You know, and it's interesting because...
2020, man.
Yeah. Oh, out... But, you know, in other parts of the world that have real weather, mm-hmm. like hurricanes and tornadoes, tropical storms, whatever, they always say, at least it's not the earthquakes.
Yeah, which always... Now, see, that makes me laugh. That's always my favorite. Somebody that lives in Tornado Alley goes, well, at least it's not the earthquakes,
it's like
right?
Earthquakes aren't
it's like,
picking
dog,
up.
Dog, earthquakes don't pick up the house and throw it a mile away.
And it's like, oh, no, broken glass.
Oh, I cut my foot.
Not this. Where did my washing machine go?
I have been struck. By an F-150.
And I actually feel really bad even making this joke right now because people are really devastated by these natural disasters right now. I feel actually very bad about that.
So the hypothetical scenario, you're in Raleigh, North Carolina. Somebody keys up a repeater while you're mm-hmm. in Raleigh, North Carolina, mm-hmm. and they say, KI6NAZ.
Okay.
So first of all...
And then I go, you're not my husband.
You... So you say...
But I can't say anything back because I don't have my license.
Yeah, right. Well, you've made this very complicated yes. for me to continue this hypothetical situation.
Is that an emergency? Can you tell me?
Well, you are in North Carolina.
Does
as was covered already. You established this point.
Okay.
This is like improv right now. Okay. We're riffing. Okay. We're riffing.
All right. So because I am
let me finish the scenario. So you hear my call sign. You don't know it's mine. You don't know me. Okay. This is, again, hypothetical. Don't go on a tangent. Don't freak out.
No way.
Stop. Stop.
So now I'm single in North Carolina.
Oh, my God.
Who has the kids?
Someone says KI6NAZ, and you say, wow, that's a really interesting call sign. Why is it interesting? Because that's a six call. Six call is from California.
Oh.
So you say, wow, you're a long way from California. What are you doing out in Raleigh, North Carolina? And they say, oh, I'm on travel.
Okay.
And then so
and they said it like so suspiciously that you call them out immediately.
Like, doubt. Press X to doubt. No. So then you pull them up on QRZ or wherever, and you're like, oh, KI6NAZ's first name is Josh.
Uh-huh.
You say, hey, so I'm, I don't know the number for North Carolina, by the way.
Okay.
I'm winging it. So you say your call sign, you say, hey, name here is Leia.
Uh-huh.
I'm usually out on this repeater during drive time when I'm to and from work. I'm a big rig driver. single big rig driver. And they're like,
is this
oh.
like in your dream scenario?
I am
how
going
would,
deep. I'm going deep in
meet?
This hypothetical. No, like no, 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 no.
What a meet cute.
What a meet cute. By the way, in this hypothetical story, you are running Coors Light across
oh
the
God.
Rockies. You will refer to me for the rest of the podcast as the Bandit.
What is happening right now?
Again, r/whoosh. This just went right over your head. Anyway, so you're like, oh, okay, name here's Leia. What's your name? And they say Todd.
Todd, you got caught.
You done goofed, Todd.
Caught you slipping.
So you looked up the call sign on QRZ. You know the first name is Josh.
Okay.
And so you're like, Todd, you're obviously not in California anymore. And that's not even the call sign's first name. So what are you doing, Todd?
Yeah. What are you doing,
are you
Todd?
Doing? What are you doing, man?
Yeah.
We're literally testing people online now. You can go take your test online. Takes no time to get your license. Why are you bootlegging? They call it bootlegging, by the way, when you use a call sign that's not yours. It happens a lot. And generally, people figure it out. It's not that hard to figure it out.
And then what does Todd say?
I don't know, man. That's about the end of my, what I got for the...
There's no penalty? There's no consequences? What should I do? Should I then reach out to Josh?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can go on QRZ, email him, say, hey, do you happen to be in Raleigh right now? What are you doing? Why aren't you in Raleigh? It's great. Right. We got Biscuitville. Yeah, so there's lots of things that can happen. And that's exactly what happened when Kevin, right, that I mentioned earlier, the YouTuber who had someone using his call sign, the person who kind of like got a little suspect of it actually emailed him and said, hey, are you out here? What do you, you know, where are you at? And he's like, no, I'm not out here.
And then what does he do?
He made a YouTube video about it.
It just doesn't sound like there's a lot of consequences happening here.
The FCC will send letters. They will send people out. They will fine people eventually because you're technically creating interference on the frequencies that you don't have privileges on if you do that.
But there's no way to identify Todd.
If he does it long enough, absolutely. What are you talking about? We can DF the hell out of him. Direction find is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I understand. But... I mean, isn't that kind of a lot of effort to DF somebody?
If somebody becomes a nuisance on a repeater, right? If they keep habitually coming back and doing stuff like jam or you know they're not the actual holder of the call sign, people will absolutely love to track them down. Hams love that kind of stuff. Are you kidding me?
Yes.
It's like a little mystery.
I love it too. Now I kind of want to find whoever that was with your friend.
Todd?
No. That's a fictional person. I'm talking about your YouTube friend, Kevin.
Well, I think they found him. And the guy was like, no,
and then
yeah.
They beat
him
up.
They beat Oh, my
they
God.
They all brought their antennas.
They brought long strips of coax, and they just whipped him. It was horrible. Savage. No, of course not. They tried to just say, hey, man, literally, you know, it's not difficult to get your license nowadays. It's like no big deal.
Come and then on. What did the guy say? What was the outcome of Kevin's situation? I'm invested.
I think there was a follow-on that they contacted him and just said, like, hey, knock it off. And it, he knocked it off. He picked a new call sign.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Hello, I'm Todd. Amateur radio. K6TOD. So that's what he's doing now.
I bet that is someone, though. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
If I was going to steal somebody's call sign, it would be Mike's.
Yeah, he's K-Murd. An 8-call. But if you stole his call sign and you were in California, people would be like,
oh, you're right.
What's this 8-call doing in
You're right, Bob. Yes.
Bob?
Yeah.
K-6 of all the UDA. People?
He's in California, though.
Yeah.
So I'm fine.
You're like, hey, YL, are you on any of Bob's videos?
Exactly. See? He'd be totally fine. Yeah, he's right here. Can I talk to him? No.
You got a cover. You got a cover story. That's true.
Yeah. Catfishing on ham radio.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah, please don't do it. Actually, I just don't. I think one of the reasons that hams are so into these kind of mysteries, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's fascinating because you were telling me about your admins and mods and
oh
their
my God,
master
the clandestine.
Plan.
Yes.
It was so clever. And I was like, you know what? You put together just a very intelligent group of minds, right? Because you have to be to understand the technical
right.
aspects of ham radio, right? And the type of personality that will go and seek out contacts, right? Just across, jumping across bands, putting up antennas, getting amplifiers just to make things work, right?
Make things more powerful.
Yeah. And with an underlying almost Boy Scout value system, and somebody does something wrong, that
what?
Is the convergence of so many things.
It's like chaos. You kind of take like a chaos aspect. It's like it is chaotic lawful, if you think about the you
sure.
don't again this is an r/whoosh thing, this is going over Leia's head, but it's chaotic lawful is kind of what it is. So you're taking a bunch of people who can kind of think outside the box and come up with interesting solutions to common, you know, a real problem.
Yeah.
But they're also law minded. Like there is a law that must be followed, and not like a government law, like someone worked for something and you're taking advantage of that.
You know, I actually really do like how protective hams are of the community. You know, everybody is, it's almost like a fraternity, but without the chads.
It's all betas is what you're saying?
No, aren't chads like jerks?
Oh, I guess so, yeah. In fact, I'm going to be doing a video about it, and we're probably going to talk about it on the podcast. There's lots of interesting
there's
things.
There's a ham radio fraternity full of chads?
Is no. What No. There's just a lot of interesting characters in ham radio. There's not like one archetype. There are many archetypes of people. And we've talked about a lot of them on the podcast. And you can poke fun at some of them. But at the end of the day, they're all generally generalizations of groups of people that have a common interest.
Yeah.
But even that common interest, there's so many pockets of technical depth within the umbrella of amateur radio that it becomes hard to label them all. You know what I mean? Like, they are all hams. We are all hams. But I was just listening to the Ham Radio Workbench podcast, and they were talking to somebody who's really into microwave radios.
What?
They're at the microwave level. They are microwave specific. The frequency that they operate in are at the microwave level.
I thought.
Yeah, I know what you're thinking. There's a coax connected to a microwave, and he's holding it up above his head like, say anything, and just it's just spinning. There's a dish in there spinning.
No, I was thinking it's one of those junkyard radios where, what? Right? You were saying that people put together radios from parts from junkyards.
Yeah.
And I was imagining somebody had basically taken apart multiple microwaves.
Oh, God.
I was like, that's impressive.
I mean, he's totally riddled with radiation poisoning, or not.
He's at the 50 megahertz.
Oh, he's well beyond 50 megahertz. You know, he was saying that somebody was testing their antenna, and they had the dish, because it's a dish bait. They used microwave dishes. They had it pointed at a tree, and it caught the tree on fire. Microwave's no joke. Whoa. Microwave will hurt you badly. Very badly burned. Yeah. That's no joke. That's a thing. That's a real thing.
So now I know. If you put a satellite on our roof, that it's time to move.
And it just pointed at the house. What is going on? What is he doing? No, that those dishes, when I say dishes, they're like 3 foot, 4 foot diameter dishes. They're not small. They're pretty good sized.
A 3 to 4 foot diameter is not that big.
It's
like the size of, it's smaller than this table.
Circle, though, not an oval, yeah.
But it would still be smaller than this table.
Considering the frequency that they're operating on, that's not that big. That's pretty big, I mean, for a dish. A lot of them get a lot bigger than that. But anyway, that might be a topic for another show.
Okay, all right.
Leia? Do you have anything, final parting words? Go check out hamtactical.com for your creations that you have brought to the community. Make sure to go check us out again. Obviously, this is the YouTube Ham Radio Crash Course podcast, so make sure you go check out the videos there. I live stream every Saturday at 5 p.m. Check us out on Patreon. Please join the YouTube Ham Radio Crash Course group. A lot of questions, a lot of comments. People are posting their stories, their journey with amateur radio, which I think is great. And our Discord, still one of the things I'm kind of the most proud of is the Discord community we have. It's such a lot of fun. We have some amazing people that are in the Discord community, and it's just always fun just going through there and reading everything. I just like reading most of the comments and everything. All of our memes that go on the live stream come from the Discord. A lot of the show ideas come from the Discord. So, big fan.
Huge fan.
Huge fan. What else? Is there anything
swamp
else?
Fan.
Small fan?
Swamp fan.
Swamp fan?
Like a swamp cooler.
I get it.
Okay. All right. Just making sure.
Anything else?
No.
Nothing else to plug? You got nothing else you want to plug?
Does anybody want to attend online Chinese school?
Check us out. Anyway, that'll do it. Thanks so much for listening again, and we'll talk to you again soon.
73.